I mean, you're paying every month for the structural maintenance, but then you don't have to worry about doing the work, right? So whenever something happens, the building management company takes care of it. You probably wouldn't even know about it until you see the annual report.
Oh, okay.
Whereas with a house, I mean, the costs might be similar, but you'll have to be on top of every maintenance issue and every renovation and every repair required. You'll have to just more mental bandwidth, and you'll have to handle it yourself. You'll also have to, like you mentioned, might have to organize, depending on the shape of the roof, you might need to organize snow clearing from the roof, making sure that it doesn't land on neighboring properties, take care of the yard if there's a yard. So there's just a lot more moving parts. Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. Well, I thought I won't have the time to do this, but somehow I found it, mainly because I'm just awesome that way. So here's one last episode for you, 3 days before the Japan Real Estate Summit Spring Session, which is kicking off this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Pullman Hotel in Tamachi, Tokyo, and online via the streaming room. I'm assuming you all have your tickets by now, but I will mention one last time that gala dinner tickets are separate. Folks, we had a bit of an uptick in gala dinner ticket sales after I've mentioned this last week, so I'm guessing there are still a bunch of you out there who have tickets for the event itself but are not aware. So again, pause this recording right now and hop over to summit.realestate.jp to grab your gala dinner tickets if you are planning to join, because this one's a real gourmet affair. And the chef will absolutely not be able to accommodate last-minute additions to the guest list. We need to let them know how many people are attending ASAP. Today is our cutoff date, actually. And if you don't even have event tickets yet, whether that's in person or online, I'm really not sure what you've been waiting for. We cannot sell these on the door, as we've mentioned time and time again. So if you want to hear about the new financing options from Yen Loans and Axolotl Capital, mortgage updates from Emil Gorgis, buyer insights from Shumatsu Post and Brett Lee at Akia Hub, renovation tips, budgets and costs from Blanca Kobayashi, short-term stay in Airbnb best practices for 2026 from Tracy Northcott, deal dynamics and investment analysis tools from myself and Tatemono IQ, digital assets positioning from Robert at Innovatius.com, about Kyoto's hotel and hospitality market from Chai at Shiki Properties, about tax issues that you really do need to know about from Ben Tanaka at Retire Japan, remote holiday homes and back office mail and bills management from MailMate, and Akias and rural rejuvenation opportunities from Matt Ketchum at Akias. Again, pause this recording right now and head over to summit.realestate.jp for your last minute tickets, if they're still available. I haven't checked before recording this one. We're all super excited to see you all again face-to-face this coming weekend. This is poised to be the best summit yet. And the venue, the Pullman Hotel, really is in a league of its own, as you'll see exactly what we're talking about when you get there. All right, so for today's episode, and this one really is the last one before the summit, two back-to-back conversations again. This first one, audio call only, is one that I've had recently with an experienced investor based in Austria,
which was a new one for us. I don't think we've had any clients in Austria, and we've been at it for about 15 years now, so that was a pleasant surprise there. And while he's got a few investment properties of his own under his belt back home, this will be his first time buying in Japan, and he's smart enough to know what he doesn't know kind of thing. So we discuss which cities would be the best for a first investment, what the yield would look like in these first and second tier cities, how monthly or short-term rentals, as opposed to long-term rentals, might potentially improve those yields, and what exactly that would depend on. We talk about what we assist with and how our services work, how Japan's declining population trends affects property investments overall and the tenant base specifically in these various locations is considering, why different investors might focus on different types of investment properties to suit their own individual risk appetites, their existing portfolio allocations, diversity hedging, and so forth. We also talk about balancing potential growth versus cash flow and yield, how we even calculate yields, what his financing options might be. And as a side note, when this was recorded just a couple of months ago, we mentioned yen loans and how they only lend for Tokyo condos. So that's now changed. They've expanded, and you'll hear exactly how from Mark Drepkin, the founder and CEO at the summit this weekend. We ask about how old should properties be on purchase and why, how old they should be on resale and why investment properties are priced differently than owner-occupied properties, the pros and cons of investing in houses as opposed to condo units, advantages and disadvantages of these different tenant profiles that might populate these different property types. We talk viewing, structural inspections, how these work for vacant properties, property management, taxes, accounting, financial management for non-resident investors specifically, and the timeline from initial research through due diligence and finally contract signing and settlement. So real thorough review of everything that a first-time property investor in Japan might want to know. Enjoy the conversation and don't go away when it's done. There's another one coming your way right after this.
So let me just bring up your email. Austria. Oh, we don't have an Austrian client yet. This is kind of exciting. I thought we had most countries, but Austria we don't have. And you currently looking at the Japanese real estate market for the first time. You own two apartments in Austria and you want to buy one in Japan, Osaka, Kyoto, Fukuoka, Nagoya. Good apartments, stable rental income, paperwork, managing the property, tax requirement. Okay, so this is basically what we do. Mm-hmm. A couple of years down the road, I don't know that what we'll be discussing regarding pricing or rental amounts or whatever will be correct 2-3 years down the road, but we can talk about what's happening now if you want.
Of course. But I just want to start the whole process to get to know each other, to start the business relationship early on.
Sure.
To get to know each other and get a better picture of each side and what each other can provide.
So what you've described is what we do. The places you've described are all good locations. With Nagoya, just caveat, it's a bit more blue collar, so we occasionally have some payment issues with tenants or somebody disappearing in the middle of the lease. It just happens a bit more frequently in Nagoya than it does in other cities. It's still Japan levels. It's not ghettos and crime labs or whatnot, sometimes we have some tenant issues there.
But you're a representative in all of those cities?
Everywhere in Japan, yeah. I don't know. Okinawa, for some reason, we haven't done anything in, but anywhere else in Japan, we're probably done at least a couple of deals for someone, yeah.
Okay. Good to know. And from the cities I mentioned, do you recommend any of those cities or are they all?
All of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Osaka is great if you can get it. It's a very hot market at the moment. Chinese are grabbing everything in Osaka, left, right, and center. Okay. But prices are still reasonable in the suburbs at least. So we still like a good deal out of Osaka if it comes. Kyoto, same story, but it's been like it for years. In Kyoto, we find a lot of townhouses, old, beautiful places that can be turned into stunning holiday homes and, short-term stay properties if you get the licensing and the permission to do it, but it's not an easy market and the good deals are rare. Fukuoka and Nagoya are easy to buy in and both very attractive on the return. So all of these locations, all of these cities, if we get a long-term tenant in place, probably something like 4.5 to 5.5% before tax, maybe 6% mm-hmm. if we're very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can experiment with short-term or medium-term stays, but then it's different purchase considerations, and it's also seasonal and it fluctuates, so you could potentially get a higher yield, but it has to be a very smooth, well-oiled machine to be generating the good yields, and it's a lot more hands-on. You need to think about vacancies, occupancies, campaigns, how much the competition is charging. It's just, it's a kind of a part-time job.
Okay, good to know. As you mentioned, short-term rental and long-term. I'm more interested in long-term rental, but do you also provide short-term rentals if those with the licensing and so on is possible?
Yeah, we don't do anything hands-on ourselves, so we would normally be working with Japanese property managers in each and every location. That's why we can be all over Japan, is because we look for the best team in each city. We don't necessarily do anything ourselves. With short-term stay properties specifically, a lot of the operators are already foreigner-friendly, English-speaking to some degree, because they deal with foreign guests. So a good half of them, I'd say, can also deal with foreign landlords. So you might not need us if it's going to be that.
Those short-term rentals would also be managed by some property manager who specializes in short-term.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. And from those four cities I mentioned, I know Japan has the topic with the declining population and so on. Therefore, demand for houses and apartments probably should decrease in the upcoming years.
With the cities that you've mentioned, practically the population decline means that the smaller townships are all moving into the bigger cities, right?
Yeah.
So Fukuoka, Kyoto, Osaka, Nagoya, I haven't checked in a while, but all of them have been at least stable, if not like Fukuoka, increasing in populations. Mm-hmm. So for the next couple of decades, that's still a thing. But if we go to any of the smaller or medium-sized cities, that becomes very much a consideration. We want to make sure what's happening with the population.
Yeah, makes sense. But those cities are still stable, and this shouldn't be an immediate problem right now.
I don't see any such now. No crystal ball, but barring a big earthquake, I don't see a huge problem there.
Of course. Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you, how to put it, do you specialize in new buildings or older buildings who need renovation? Or
depends on you and your criteria. Depends on what you want to achieve, and depends on how hands-on you want to be, and how much you balance safe and stable versus potential higher yield. Every investor is different. It's what normally I would be asking at this point is what do your other investments in Austria, for example, the properties that you have there, are there more of a cash flow? They're potentially growing in value. Like what kind of investments are they?
So my properties in Austria, I bought one apartment which is generating income right now, and another property is I'm in the process of buying. The apartment building is still being built until 2028. So I wanted to
brand
wait.
New. Okay.
Brand new. So I wanted to wait until this project is finished. So I have a feeling what the numbers are really like, what's the cash flow, what's the investment sum and so on, and how much money is left over for my new project in Japan. So that's the plan. So one of
Do
those,
you expect them to gain in value? Has the market been appreciating in Austria?
The second investment should be depreciating around the inflation rate in Austria, so 3-4% right now. And the first property I bought right now should be the same. Those properties are in the largest city in Austria and in the second largest city in Austria. So similar to those I...
So I'm assuming like kind of single digit rental income yield and more...
The calculation is around 4-6%, somewhere in between.
Okay. But, so very similar to what we get in Japan, I'd say. Yeah.
But additionally,
the bigger cities will be similar to that. You can get a bit more adventurous if you want to go for smaller or medium-sized cities. And then maybe aim for 6-6.5% if you're lucky. But that comes, I mean, the reason they're cheaper to buy there is because they haven't seen much appreciation, right? So
yeah. But I much more prefer the cash flow over the appreciation, to put it that way. A stable cash flow machine is more to my liking.
As long as we have a tenant base, yeah.
Yeah. But when you talk about 6% yield before taxes, that includes all the property management fees, insurance, and so on.
So we call it net pre-tax, meaning including all of your purchase costs and all of the routine known running costs.
Yeah.
Not including your annual taxes, which would be different depending on the size of your portfolio. And also, so depending on the size of your portfolio, your income tax would be different thresholds. And also it also doesn't include any unknowns. So maintenance, vacancies, sudden repairs, I can give you rough estimates on that, but if you're only holding two or three small units for a short period of time, those statistics kind of go out the window. You could have a tenant move in 1 month after you move out 1 month after you purchase, so they could stay in place another 10 years and the numbers look totally different.
But the rough estimate for let's put a realistic scenario, which all the costs included, a yield for 5 to 6% could be expected. Yeah.
Best case scenario. The nicer the property is, the closer it'd be to 5%.
Yeah, I mean, probably the location is one of the key features. How near is it to a station, or is it in the center or in the outskirts or something like that?
Yeah.
But then, okay.
And age of the building and what floor, and is it a corner unit? There's a bunch of factors that come in.
Okay. I started looking into this topic, and everywhere I read some sort of financing is for foreigners is not possible, just to
we just actually partnered with one lender. They're only doing Tokyo condominium units at the moment, which is going to be pretty low yield on the long-term lease front, but they will give you a loan for investment purposes.
There are another
bunch of lenders who will do the same, but they'll want you to incorporate in Japan and appoint a Japanese resident as representative director. So that's not really feasible for smaller portfolios.
There's
a Singapore lender who used to, up until 4 or 5 years ago, I haven't spoken to them since, but they used to provide condo loans anywhere in the country, as long as it's a big city, one of the big five cities, and only condos, non-landed, for investment purposes. They were all giving similar percentages, 3.5, 3 to 4% interest, depending on the lender and the term of the loan.
Because right now I'm planning on a 100% purchase. But it's good to know, to have an option if.
It gives you an edge when you make an offer. Yeah. They'll prioritize you over a mortgage-based offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also right. Yeah. So my price range in the coming years. So let's put it like 2028. My budget would be like 50 to 100,000 euros. So that's up to around 20 million yen. Is this a budget where properties are available, or is it too?
All big cities, even in Tokyo, although they'd be older and uglier, but even in Tokyo, we can get something at that budget.
Okay. I mean, more money is nice apartments or nicer buildings and so on, but
which gives you a nicer tenant profile too, right? So more stability.
But it shouldn't be a main problem with this price range.
I mean, there's a sweet spot. We don't want to go too fancy and too new, because then the yield is very low, right? It'll hold the yield for a longer time, and it'll hold its value for a longer time, but it's going to be low yield. If we're talking 3-4%, many people don't want to get out of their backyard for that. So if we want to aim for the sweet spot, 5 to 6%, then we're going for 30 years and younger if it's a condo unit, or 20 years and younger if it's a house. But if it's a house with land, it'll be a lot more suburban, because land in these areas would cost a lot more the closer it is to central. So there are definitely things to be had. Depending on the city, it'll be more or less suburban, more or less old.
Yeah, okay.
Now, if you're actively looking at property in Japan, you should check out Akiya Mart. That's A-K-I-Y-A hyphen Mart, M-A-R-T, akiyamart.com. It's the Zillow of Japan, built for buyers who are actively hunting for a home in Japan and want a much more Western-style web browsing experience than the typical local Japanese websites. Now, we've got an exclusive 30% off promo code for the Akiya Mart Pro annual plan. That's the one that gives you full access to Airbnb zoning maps, hazard maps, sold data, and over 500,000 listings nationwide at any given time. So if you're serious about buying in Japan and you want an easier way to search, this is the best tool that we know of. So you can use my code ZIV, Z-I-V, at checkout and get 30% off your Akiya Mart Pro annual plan at akiyamart.com.
And you talked about condo or house. Are there some preferences, or what's the pros and cons to buying a house or buying a condo unit?
Houses let you be more creative, but they come with an added layer of hassle and fluctuation. So condo units, you pay your monthly fees. You know exactly what sort of rental income you're getting every month. I mean, they'll slightly go up over time, but you know what you're paying and what you're getting every month. Yeah. And you don't need to be concerned with the structure. You just take care of the interior when your tenant moves out and before you get a new one in, right? But you can't do almost no monthly rentals, almost zero short-term rentals. All you can do is long-term residential leases. If you're lucky, maybe a mixed building where you can rent it out to an office instead of residential. But your creativity, flexibility are pretty limited, right? Houses, you can go for bargains, try to do projects on the cheap, renovation, repairs. If you're within the zoning regulations, you can try to lease it out short term. You can renovate the interior to suit various needs. You've got the creative freedom, and you've got a bigger piece of land, which can appreciate better if it's central enough. But they come with unexpected expenses, right? Suddenly something goes, the roof, the wall, the windows, the insulation, the termites. So they're more work on a regular basis, especially if they're older. And you want to put money aside. There's no reserve fund like with a condo. So you want to put money aside by yourself to take care of anything that will come up, right?
You have to do it yourself, But to me, more flexibility, but also more risk with a house. And if the condo, it's pretty straightforward. So,
Assuming liquidity, meaning assuming that we can pay for anything that comes up and we just want to maximize the yield, houses are just more hands-on, right? More of a hassle to manage.
Okay. And from the tenant perspective, are there more possible tenants for houses or for condos, or is it more like
I'd say about as easy to get a tenant. With a house, it might take a little bit longer because we're looking for a family as opposed to a single or a couple, which Japan demographically has a lot more singles and couples than families. But they do stay in place longer, the families as well. So we're not, you know, the turnover is a lot lower. You do have more of a floor space to renovate between tenants when you have a bigger condo or a house, right? If you got two or three bedrooms, it's more expensive to renovate between tenants, but it's a family, so they'll stay longer. It all kind of evens out. But with the house, it's just more work on a regular basis because you need to be aware of what's happening with the structure at all any given time.
Good to know. And let's jump to the due diligence, to put it that way. If we start the process together, the possible properties would be inspected by you and your company or your network of all the cities. So
there's viewings and then there's inspections. The viewings meaning somebody to come in and look at the property inside and out. If you happen to be in Japan, we can do it together with you. If not, we'll send somebody over and they'll do a remote viewing on Zoom or whatever with you. So you can, you know, tell them what to focus on or ask questions. If the listing agents and their reps are there, then you can ask questions as well.
Okay.
If you're happy with what you see, you'll then submit an offer. If it's a house and it's older than 30, we'd probably advise to submit it pending on a structural inspection report. And then if that report comes in favorable, we go ahead. And if not, we pull back, or we might say, hey, we need to fix something for 6 million yen. So, you know, please discount 2 or 3 million, whatever. But most of them will be priced with all of that in mind. So it's not really a huge negotiation tool. It's more of a green light, red light kind of thing.
Okay.
If it's a condo unit, we'll submit an offer pending the building's financials. And that's when we're going to get the report of how much reserve funds they've got, what the renovation history looks like in the last 10 years, if there are any renovation plans or hikes in the fees coming up in the next few years. Try to assess how quickly building fees will go up, because that eats into your yield immediately when they go up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we want to make sure it's well managed. They've got enough money to pay for the next big renovation coming up. They're not going to suddenly take out a loan or double the fees or anything of that sort.
Okay. Okay. I understand. So first, a possible property that comes up and I have interest in, we start the first steps, and then we see if everything is as we expect it to be or something comes up.
Yeah.
And we move forward or back.
And if we're buying something that's already generating income, meaning already has a tenant in there, then we also obviously look at the tenant profile and their history.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. Good to know. And to get down the road a little bit farther, talking about the exit strategy, if you want to put it that way, how liquid would the market be? I mean, that's also years down the road, but if I wanted to sell the property 10 years after,
well, so many years down the road, because if we aim for the sweet spot again, which is 30 years and younger, you probably want to reconsider selling them before they hit about 40 years and older, because that's when the building fees escalate because of more frequent renovations. And because these are investment properties, they're not going to be bought by an owner occupier. They're going to be bought by an investor. So they look at the yield. If the yield drops, then your resale price drops. So we'd normally hold them up until 37, 6, 7, 8 ish, and then try to sell them, you know, as close as possible to the purchase price.
Okay. But that's the strategy, to put it that way.
If you happen to have anything that's much younger, like if it's going to be 30 years and younger when you sell it, then some of our clients might be interested in purchasing it.
Okay. But the market is liquid and flexible that way. So
if we bought something attractive from the get-go, which is what we aim to do with investments, then it's the world's second or third biggest market, depending if you're looking capital-wise or transaction-wise. Yeah. It's very liquid.
Okay. Good to know. What else do I have? The tenant topic. If a tenant moves out and a new tenant has to be sorted out, there are special companies who are focused on this, or is this part of the...
The property managers are the ones taking care of that.
The property managers are also taking care of this. Okay.
This is how we judge them mainly. If a property is vacant for too long, we'll look for another property manager.
Okay. Yeah, but because that's also good to know, to have a reliable partner who looks for a new tenant. Pretty short term if something comes up.
A lot of our work is unfortunately having to look for better property managers all the time, because some of them start off good and then somebody leaves the company and they don't do such a good job, or you know, they're not very proactive, or they're not responsive, and then we just look for a new one. But we always try to have the best one in place.
But when we talk about property manager, are those also companies who hire a bunch of property managers, or are they more on their own terms?
What do you mean? Sorry.
The property managers are they those big companies who have, let's put it, 100 property managers in Osaka or something
big,
like that?
Big or small. Some of them are national franchises, like you'd see with real estate agencies, and some of them are just a local company that, you know, knows those streets and those neighborhoods very well. We don't really care which of them to work with, as long as they're finding tenants and we're getting paid every month, we're happy.
Okay. And the tech side of things, you probably also work with some tax advisors, which can support me with the
At this budget, you probably want to file your taxes and claim depreciation and claim your purchase costs and anything that like that. We'll put you in touch with a bilingual accountant. They charge a few hundred bucks a year and they'll manage your tax matters for you.
Okay, good to know. Okay, and one last question. I wanted to start in 2028, what steps would be the first step for me, or other steps I should take in right now? So put up an account, something like that, or
you can't open a bank account if you're not a resident. You can't open a bank account in Japan, so you'll need to work through a company like ours, which is collecting your rental income, paying your expenses, giving you an annual statement, and you tell us when to transfer funds back to you, kind of thing.
Okay.
A portfolio management company. Preparation wise, just figure out if you're using cash or applying for loans, because if you are, that's a different conversation we'll need to have with lenders. And then assuming the financing or the cash is in place, then I'd say 2 months before you're ready to pull the trigger and pay the full amount, that's when we should start looking, because the market shifts very quickly.
Okay. 2 months ahead is enough. That's really quickly. Okay. But it also should from the start to the closure, should everything be in plus minus 2 months, or what's the estimate?
If it's
there?
A condo, I'd say yes, about 2 months.
Okay.
If it's a house, because there's a structural inspection involved and sometimes more lengthy viewings, especially if it's vacant, then maybe 3 months, I'd say.
Okay. Let me look at my cheat sheet if there are any other questions. I mean, in the most important questions you have answered me, and I got a really good overview for the upcoming topics.
We'll have a lot more when we're looking at actual listings.
That's where
all the questions and answers come in usually.
Yeah, but I started in a couple of weeks back with my research in the Japanese market, and I thought, why not start making contact to some of the companies right now to get to know each other and have a feeling. But for me, the one of the most important things is to have reliable partners, because I am not there in this country, so I need to have someone I can trust to take care of those topics. You make a very positive in impression, so that's a very good start.
Thank you. Although I have to say, I made the mistake of falling for good impressions like that when I was trying to invest in the US and all those kind of places, and they can be wrong. But yeah, we're managing the properties for our clients. So if we recommend a bad purchase, or if we find a bad property manager, it all comes back to bite us in the bum eventually. So we don't really have a choice.
Yeah, but you also have to put, I would see it that way. Mistakes can be made. How you handle those mistakes, that's the most important part.
Exactly. So, I'm 100% on board with that.
You cannot know everything. Also, you, if you are in the market and
oh, no, we say I'm sorry. We say I'm sorry a lot here, actually.
I believe that, but I would have the expectation to how you handle topics that come up. That's the most important thing, because you can't do everything perfectly. So
we're all human. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, great meeting you. And I guess we'll be in touch again closer to 2028, right?
Something like that. Thank you very much.
Sounds good.
For your time.
Looking forward to it. Talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in web solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company, Innovatius, is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top-of-the-list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com, and his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today. All right, so for the second call, this couple is based in Singapore, and this is their first time buying property anywhere in the world, so a lot less experienced than our first guy. And they're looking for houses or condo units in Hokkaido, more likely condos. We actually do a live deal analysis of one, in case you want to hop over to our YouTube channel to see what we're discussing in the call. So we hammer home the advantages of purchasing condos as opposed to houses, in their case, for remote holiday home owners, and particularly ones that are in snowy areas like Hokkaido, which obviously come with higher and more complex maintenance costs and concerns. We discuss how to conduct due diligence on condo units specifically, what are reasonable monthly condo fees in resort versus non-resort buildings, how to find listings, and how we and good Japanese buyer side agents can help, how remote viewings work, what the options are for short-term and monthly-term rentals in these condo resorts, if any. So a nice deep dive on the topic of holiday condos in snowy areas in Japan, which I know a lot of you are always looking at. Enjoy this second conversation, and I'll see you one last time on the other side.
Yeah, good.
Good morning.
Have this call because we are very beginners when it comes to buying real estate, let alone in Japan. So yeah, I think the guidance is quite necessary for us.
Sure, we're happy to help. And I saw that you switched from house to condo unit, yeah?
Yeah, because we thought of that, and sort of our main motivation to do this step is because we live in Singapore and we go to Hokkaido quite often. Like sometimes 3 times a year, it's our favorite place to go for holiday. And so past, 5 years, we spend so much money there for accommodation during our holiday. So
yeah,
the main interest is not to sort of like have it as an investment, but sort of for us as a holiday home. And specifically because most of our holidays are during the winter time, I think, maintenance around the house would be a little bit more difficult than the unit.
Yes, very much so.
So we thought it's more reasonable, yeah, for our purpose to go for a unit, yeah.
Okay, understand. And you've mentioned in your email that you've got a few listings shortlisted, but I haven't seen any links. Do you want to review them together?
We could do that.
Yeah, Do you want to send them to me in the chat or another email?
Yeah, I'll put them to the chat. I'll just pull them out from.
You want me to do?
I can take it from here. So I think the one which we were interested the most was this one, right?
Do you think it's a good idea to go for uni?
It's definitely a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot less headaches for sure. I mean, you're paying every month for the structural maintenance, but then you don't have to worry about doing the work, right? So whenever something happens, the building management company takes care of it. You probably wouldn't even know about it until you see the annual report.
Okay.
Whereas with a house, I mean, the costs might be similar, but you'll have to be on top of every maintenance issue and every renovation and every repair required. You'll have to just more mental bandwidth, and you'll have to handle it yourself. You'll also have to, like you mentioned, might have to organize, depending on the shape of the roof, you might need to organize snow clearing from the roof, making sure that it doesn't land on neighboring properties, take care of the yard if there's a yard. So there's just a lot more moving parts.
I think that was the main reason why we sort of decided, because like we even heard something about that you need to sort of like let the water out from the pipes when you have a house for winter and stuff like that.
Oh, that's the case for condos as well, unless you happen to have a very advanced water heating system which keeps the pipes warm all winter.
Okay.
Which some of these resorts might have, but otherwise you'll need to do that for condos as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, good to know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let me share my screen.
So, the one I sent you is probably the one we are the most interested in. It's in Josanke Onsen. It's actually the destination we've been recently visiting. Like previous years, I don't know, a couple of years ago, we used to go a lot to Niseko area, and so we know that area as well, but that area sort of became very expensive, and so recently we switched our visits to Josanke Onsen around Sapporo and skiing mostly in Sapporo Kokusai and maybe Sapporo Teine. So
got it. Okay, well, this one was built in 1992, so it's, 33 years old. We would look at the building's investigation report, but at this age, it's hopefully going to be in good shape. It's just a matter of whether they've got enough money, like if they've been managing the reserve funds collection properly and have been allocating for renovations, then they'll have enough money for the next big renovations, or maybe they've done the required big renovations in the last 10 years or so. But that we're not going to know that until we submit an offer. So that's when they're going to give us the building investigation report with all of the details regarding renovation management reserve funds, and then we'll review it.
Okay.
So that's the due diligence that we do on these units. But otherwise, it looks...
We found like lower below, there were some, just the overview of what the... like a maintenance fund is contributions are.
Are you okay? That's a very large amount of maintenance funds.
We weren't aware whether this is monthly or annually.
Monthly. This is monthly.
Oh, okay. So that changes situation a little
bit. That's very expensive. Yeah. Most of the units we look at are going to be 30, 40,000 tops. This is more like 80,000.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's very expensive.
All right. I mean, we have to reconsider a little bit, but
I'd say reconsider a lot. this is a very expensive month. I mean, I can see why they've got the onsen there and probably other facilities that you can use, but large public baths, hot springs, ski drying room. Yeah. I mean, if you're really in love with this, that's a lot of money, though.
Yeah. I mean, we can definitely like try to search a bit more to find some more and try to think how much heavy the burden of paying this monthly would be for us, considering originally we thought it's an annual fee.
No, it's definitely monthly.
Yeah, we weren't aware of that. But
how are the possibilities of renting, actually, if we like a foreigner buying something like that? and
the possibilities of renting would depend on the owner union, and this one specifically notes on the listing that no short-term stays are allowed. That's usually the case with resort properties in buildings. You're probably not going to be able to rent them out.
Okay.
I mean, you might be able to rent it out on a long-term basis, not Airbnb and short-term stays, but then you can't use it, right?
Yeah, it would be clashing with our interest. Yeah.
Plus, there's not going to be many tenants who want to live year-round in this kind of place. That's usually a resort kind of area, so people will want short-term or medium-term stays there, and that you're not going to be able to do with this owner union.
Yeah. Okay. I think we sort of keep exploring a little bit more.
Well, once we get started, we'll have a real estate agent on the job. They can also research for you. But I mean, they're basically searching the same resources that you would be. They don't have any secret resources. I mean, they might have some properties that are only listed on the internal Realtor database, but most of them would be on all the major websites you're looking at.
Yeah, okay. By the way, is it a thing with the units? So if we would be sort of like, let's say, keep searching for units instead of houses, is it mostly that the short-term rentals are not allowed in such a property?
Vast majority of them, yes. 99.9% of the building's owner union would not allow it.
Okay.
What about like 6 months renting? We won't be there for 6 months, maybe?
So monthly, if it's done for a period of at least 1 month and with a tenant lease in place, it doesn't fall legally under short-term stays. So they can't prohibit it, but they're going to make life very difficult for any property manager because they don't want it happening. So they'll occasionally bother the guests and, are you sure you're not doing this on Airbnb? This is not allowed. This is illegal. They're not going to let the property manager hang the key box outside the building for people to check in and check out. So... pardon me, most property managers will not take on any kind of building where the owner union doesn't like rentals.
Understood. Simply just hypothetically, let's say it would be possible. Would it be a problem that we actually don't have a Japanese bank account? Like, let's say we would be, you know, renting it out for either long-term or short-term somehow. Do we need to possess Japanese bank
or other similar management companies will normally be collecting the rent and paying the expenses for you and sending it home to you whenever you instruct us to. But no, you're not going to be able to open a bank account without residency.
Yeah, okay. All right. I mean, we are still interested, like, although, you know, you just mentioned that these fees are monthly and this limitation of sort of renting out if we are not there, we are still interested to look around the properties. Especially
well, these are all vacant units, which means that you can, and also you probably should, and the realtor will insist that you come and view it before submitting an offer. So we should, because we're going to be sending somebody over there, which is a fair bit of a trip, we'd probably better round up at least 4, 5, 6 properties that they can look at that day. Otherwise, we're wasting your money on going over there to look at a single unit.
Understood. Yeah. Maybe another question. So the person who would be viewing, let's say, with us or without us, these properties, is it someone who is sort of a specialist in terms of like a building structure, unit structure? Is it someone like a real estate inspector who will sort of like give us more detailed sort of overview what may be necessary in the near future with the unit?
They can try to estimate based on what they see, but it's not a proper structural inspection, and you don't need a structural inspection for a condo unit because you're only concerned with the interior. The way we do due diligence on the buildings is seeing the building's management report and making sure they have enough money and they're doing the proper renovations. The interior is on you.
We
will be sending somebody who is either a real estate agent who will be representing you, or they'll be sending a colleague, depending on where the property is and whether they've got any colleagues in that area. They'll try to find somebody closer to make it cheaper. Mm-hmm. But worst case scenario, they'll probably need to come in from the nearest big city. They'll be real estate professionals, but they're not structural inspectors. That part is reserved for houses, not for units. You don't need that for units.
Okay. I think we would still like to inspect the place, right?
You have to view the plan. No agent will accept an offer from you without somebody having viewed it.
Yeah. Is that something which is possible to organize for next week when we will be actually there? Or is it sort of too fast?
Very short notice. We can try, but I don't like our chances. We'll see how we go. Between the buyer side agent schedule and the listing agent schedule and the fact that you're only here for a certain period of time, then that takes a lot of scheduling. So I'm not sure if that'll happen or not.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today. See how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
So Hannah, in the explanation of services document that you've received, explains how we can do a full purchase facilitation, meaning you pay us a fixed amount and we do everything on your behalf. We're still a little bit too swamped to provide that service. So what we do these days until we sort out our training and staffing issues is we will connect you with a bilingual foreigner-friendly buyer-side agent who will be doing the same work that we've been doing for a similar price or a little bit less. They're realtors though, so they're not going to be super strategic and help you prioritize and raise red flags. Their job is just to help you purchase and make sure it goes through legally. So we can join in as consultants for 88,000 yen, which is a 10-hour retainer that will usually suffice us to guide a single purchase, tell the agent what due diligence we want done, review the documents before you sign them, just make sure there are no surprises in there. So you can either work with the realtor directly, we don't charge for introductions, or you can bring us in to hold your hand through the purchase.
Understood. When we decide to go ahead with the full services provided on your behalf, is there sort of like a contractual relationship between us? Like, is there a paperwork to be signed? And
if we do facilitate everything on your behalf, the full purchase facilitation service, then yes, we need to have legal authority to represent you and sign in your stead, etc. But that we're not going to be able to do for at least another month, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you want to get started now and you're there now, so we might as well start with a consulting route. I'll put you directly in touch with an agent. You tell me if you want to stay along and guide the process or just leave you to it. And we'll try to get somebody who can view it for you next week. We'll see how we go with that.
I think at this stage, yeah, that would be probably the most appropriate to try whether we can connect with someone who would be able to arrange the viewing there next week. If it's, of course, won't happen, if it won't be possible, like, then so be it. I think we will just sort of keep exploring market for, you know, maybe other units we would be interested. And as you said, when we sort of will have a bulk of interests later in the month or even next month.
Whoever goes there, if they can go next week, again, it'll be, unless they find somebody in that immediate vicinity, which I doubt, they'll probably need to come in from Tokyo. Yes. So that's going to be a few hundred dollars worth of trip at least. So let's get them a few listings if we can.
Mm-hmm. The viewing without these intermediaries, is that even possible? Like, contact real estate agent directly? And
if you happen to find a listing agent who is okay serving you directly and non-resident foreigners and is okay communicating and providing documentation, etc., in English, then we can definitely try. But most of them will not be that, unfortunately. So you will need somebody representing you, translating documents to English, somebody who knows how to receive and send funds overseas. So normally you would need a buyer's agent. Yes.
You could
potentially view the properties on your own and not have that person join you. But in that case, most of the listing agents will not want to share their commission with a buyer side agent if they don't even come to the viewing. So they will most likely, you will most likely need to pay an double realtor fee if you'll want somebody to help you, because this listing agent will not agree to share the commission.
Okay.
So it's probably cheaper to get somebody to go with you than to pay an extra $3,000.
All right. Let's say there would be a person like intermediaries coming from your side next week, you know, from Tokyo to Hokkaido to help us with this viewing. Would it be better then to sort of like try to find a little bit more listing in the area we are interested, so it's not just regarding that
they bottom. Should be able to help. So sorry, I was I'm not familiar with Jozanke Onsen. I actually thought it was around Nagano. If it's in Hokkaido, then we definitely have somebody who should be able to handle you, who's in Sapporo or Asahikawa, anyway, in Hokkaido.
Sapporo is just 20 minutes drive away.
I just don't know if they're available next week. So we'll need to see how we go. Yeah. But we can also ask them to look for other units. Yeah, if you give them criteria, they'll happily look for you.
So if it would be possible to connect us with such a person, I mean, I would discuss obviously after this call now with my wife, because you gave us some valid information, you know, about the fees monthly and the limitations. Let's say, I don't know, there would be a season where we wouldn't be traveling to Hokkaido that often. So obviously with units, there is no option of sort of renting it out. So,
well, if you keep looking for units that are close to 100 square meters, you're probably going to keep finding these high building fees. They're usually higher the larger the unit is. So if you want lower building fees, I might compromise on the size a bit.
Okay. Which I actually found some smaller apartments or units in Jozanke Onsen. We were a little bit hesitant, like, to go to smaller place. We were like, let's sort of get something where we will feel we will be comfortable. I think we can lower the standard a little bit and try to explore more. So is there anything necessary to do any steps sort of between us now if we want to move ahead with you connecting us with someone who would be able possibly?
Not for connecting. I'll connect you as soon as somebody replies and seems available. If you want me to stay along and consult on the purchase, then I'll send you an invoice for the retainer fee and I can get started. Assuming you're going to be paying this in the next few weeks, we can get started as soon as possible.
Is it something which, if you will send through, we will read through that? It's something we can still sort of reject, or once you send the things through,
I won't send it to you if you're not interested. It's 88. It's 88,000 yen for a 10-hour retainer. A 10-hour retainer usually suffices for me to accompany a single purchase.
Okay.
So if you want me on, I'll send it, and if you don't, I won't. But no problem with the introduction. I'm happy to introduce you regardless.
I think you can actually send it through. Yeah, voice. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So if you could, I'll just reply to your last email with just a blank signature that has my mobile number at the bottom. If you could add me on WhatsApp or something similar, or Line or WhatsApp, Then we'll carry on the rest of the conversation there. That'll be a lot easier for me to respond when we're having an online conversation about the listings as well. I'm a lot faster there than on email.
I'm on WhatsApp. I think my wife actually has both. So I, you know, in Japan, LINE is probably more heavily used. So maybe you can do it even online.
Yeah. Oh, well, WhatsApp is more convenient. I can mark messages as unread, which I can do online. So if we do have WhatsApp, that's probably the easiest.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right. Okay. So you've got an email with my mobile number there. Just add me, send me a little smiley or something so I'll know it's you. And I'll meanwhile reach out to some agents and see who's most readily available.
Thank you very much, Ziv. Yeah. Thank you for having your time for us.
My pleasure. Happy to help you with this. Talk to you soon.
Okay. We'll be in touch. Have a good day.
You too. There you go. The ins and outs of owning a holiday condo in Hokkaido or anywhere in Japan's magnificent snow country, for that matter. Hope you found some value in it and hoping even more to see you in person or online in the streaming room at this coming weekend summit. Only 3 days to go now, so grab your tickets if you don't have them yet for the event itself, Saturday, Sunday, or both days, as well as for the luxurious gala dinner at summit.realestate.jp. Now, we can't let you go without telling you all about Yen Loans, our latest sponsor. They're a new non-bank lender offering financing to non-residents of Japan for purchases of Tokyo condominiums, soon to be expanding to other major cities as well. So definitely hit them up if you're looking to purchase in Osaka, Fukuoka, Kyoto, or any other big city too. And that's for any purpose, whether it's a holiday home, investment rental, or a combination of both, without any requirement for residency, a Japanese bank account, a Japanese corporate structure or representative director, any of these things, and with a streamlined application process too. So reach out to them through the link in our show notes and let them know that you found them on the Japan Real Estate Podcast. And if you're quick enough to be one of the first 10 completed applications, you'll receive a 25% discount. That's 50,000 yen off the 200,000 yen application fee. To qualify, apply through the link in our show notes again, or enter the code JREYL on their website, yenloans.com. And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening, and we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.